Are you good? Drink your water. Kyler said.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Hello.
You
How are you? All
good.
right. All right.
Good. Hope you guys have had a fun week.
Yeah. I haven't. It was full moon week, meaning I was super emotional and the kids I work with were super emotional. So it's been a week. But we got through it. So it's all that matters, right?
Period. Yeah.
I don't have anything to address today. It's your case, Elena. I'm excited and scared all at the same time.
I feel like it's definitely nothing that we've ever covered before.
Elena
So.
texted me and she, I think you said you're gonna hate it or something like that. And now I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it, at the very least, it is going to make you uncomfortable. I have some trigger warnings for right off the bat.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I would also like to preface it that although nobody dies, crimes were committed. So,
All right.
but first, I would like to say that we're going to be talking heavily about manipulation, like being manipulated, about like authority, kind of, and if that triggers you in any way, but also sexual assault, and that one is heavy in this case. So sexual assault, sexual harassment, or anything under that line. So if none of that is your jam, please exit right now because there's, I mean, this case is, it's more of a series of events. So like every event kind of has a little bit of those things. So you're not gonna be able to get out.
I feel like I know what it is.
You know what it is?
I have an inkling.
Okay.
What is it? Oh, I'm nervous. Okay, go ahead.
This is the case of Louise Ogborn. Do you know who that is?
Did she work at a McDonald's?
She did work at a McDonald's.
I know what this case is. All
Okay.
right, y'all, buckle the fuck up.
Okay. Anyway, so like I said, Louise Ogborn, and Katie said that she worked at a McDonald's. She is gonna be the main case that we talk about, but there was also 70 other plus cases that this man is connected to.
Pause.
And
What the fuck?
it is a solved case. Like we do figure out what happens. Just letting you know
Okay.
that now. But yeah, there was, I'm not going over 70, but there was 70 other reported incidences.
70.
70 plus, 70 that we know of that were reported.
Ooh.
And we'll get into why there might be some that were not reported. We'll get into it. But so we're going to be talking today about not only Louise, but before we talk about Louise, we're going to talk about a man named Officer Scott. Quote unquote, Officer Scott.
Oh.
So Officer Scott would call up fast food joints in smaller or rural towns, claiming to be a police officer. And the culture of these towns is like very much, and this is also happening in the 90s and early 2000s, so it's very much like police are always right. And there's not a whole lot of going against any sort of authority, especially police, which I feel like we got to keep that in mind for these cases too. So, which I felt like was important because if you were to do some of this shit at like a more populated place, like I used to work at a different fast food restaurant, not a McDonald's, but I was like, if you would have called my restaurant and said half this shit to me, none of us are falling for it. So, but it's also because, like, we were in a more populated area. We dealt with police more often. That was not, like, it's a part of the culture as to why these things worked as well as they did. So he would also do, like, a lot of research of these areas, and he would try to really make himself seem like a part of the local police department to make his story more believable when he called these restaurants. And he would often convince these workers to perform strip searches on each other, amongst other bizarre actions. And that's where we get into the fact that there are over 70 cases of this Officer Scott calling a location, getting on the phone, and then convincing these fast food workers to do almost anything.
What do you mean by other, what'd you say, other activities?
Other bizarre activities, yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
I will tell you.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Like I said, some of them are sexual assault, but some of them kind of ride that line. So it's interesting. So he would call up to 10 stores a day using payphones and calling cards. I am not super sure on how all that stuff works. Like, what I mean is calling cards and payphones and stuff, but it was increasingly difficult to track him because the calls weren't coming from the same place, obviously. So we're gonna start right off with a couple. No, we're not at Louise yet. So in November of 2000, Officer Scott called McDonald's in Litchfield, Kentucky, and asked to speak to a manager. Once she was on the phone with him, he convinced her that one of the customers in the restaurant, not her workers, one of the customers sitting in the restaurant right then, was a sexual predator. He then asked her to undress in front of him so she could, quote unquote, bait him. The manager on the phone was told that the entire restaurant was under surveillance, and once he tried to assault her, they would rush in and arrest him. And she truly thought that she was being led by a police officer and that she was a part of this sting operation almost, and that following his instructions would be the right thing to do at this time. And later, she found out that it was a hoax. And when she was questioned by the real police for Litchfield, Kentucky, she told them that she, like, firmly believed that he was a real officer. Like, he was very convincing. She was, and I mean, it doesn't take a genius to run a McDonald's, but I feel like some of these people, like, have common sense. Like, again, I'm going to say this a couple times. I'm not victim blaming. But God, like, that is so,
put that on a shirt.
Horrible.
It doesn't take a genius to run a McDonald's.
What I'm saying is that, like, you don't have to have the highest IQ to be able to put some things together. But I guess it's the early 2000s. Whatever.
What's up, guys? It's Elena. I'm editing this episode, and I just wanted to clarify one more time that I did not mean to say that people who were not smart ran McDonald's or other fast food places of the like. From someone who used to run a fast food place, I just didn't think it was that hard. That's different for everybody. But I just wanted to clarify one more time that that is not how I viewed fast food workers.
So that was one. It, yes, it's a smaller town in Kentucky, like, I guess.
No shade to Kentucky, just saying.
No, sorry, Jack, but so in almost every call, Officer Scott would force the person on the phone to strip or get them to force someone else to strip. After he got comfortable with these types of calls, he started adding in sexual contact. So for most of these calls, the local authorities were made aware, but since these calls were spread out across 30 states in smaller towns over 10 years, they weren't put together. So now we're in May of 2002, where a young woman began her first shift at a McDonald's in Roosevelt, Iowa. I'm gonna give y'all another little breather before I tell you the rest of this one. It's short, but it's uncomfy.
Okay, well, here we go.
Yeah, so we're in May 2002. A young woman began her first shift at this McDonald's in Roosevelt, Iowa. And this shift was her 18th birthday. So she literally just turned 18. And Officer Scott called. She was forced to jog around the restaurant naked and pose in front of people. Just sit with that.
I'd
Like,
rather
this
not.
restaurant has people in it. Like, just anyway. So, in January of 2003, a collect call was placed to an Applebee's in Davenport, Iowa.
An Applebee's?
A collect call.
Oh my God.
So the caller asked to speak to the manager, and once he was on the phone, he told the manager that he was his regional manager, and him as the regional manager was accusing one of the waitresses that was on shift of stealing. And obviously she needed to be searched. So the male assistant manager then performed a strip search on her that lasted over an hour and a half. Later, it was found out that Applebee's had sent out a memo regarding prank calls prior to this incident, and that particular assistant manager had not only seen it, but read it. And when he was questioned by the police, he said that he had forgotten about it. And he also believed that the man on the phone was really his regional manager.
What the fuck?
Shut the fuck up. Like, I don't know my regional manager like that, but I feel like I would be able to like answer the phone and be able to pick out if it was her or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, again, I'm not victim blaming, but God, some of these things I'm like, how did you not like stop before anything?
What do you, first of all, that feels illegal that a male is strip searching a female. And why the fuck is that taking an hour and a half? It should take 5 minutes tops.
Why are you strip searching at the restaurant?
At the Applebee's.
So then in June of 2003, Officer Scott called a Taco Bell that was located in Juneau, Alaska. He claimed that he was a detective working with the Taco Bell Corporation investigating drug use that was happening within the store. During this call, Officer Scott was able to manipulate the situation and get the manager to bring a young female customer into his office and make her perform lewd acts on him.
A customer?
Now we're not even with workers anymore. We're bringing the customer into the office.
Oh, Elena, we are gonna have so many things to talk about because what the fuck is going on?
According to court documents, dirt, because most of these things, like I said, no one dies, but there was definitely crimes committed. So most of these things did go to civil courts. And in some of the court documents, managers broke down and cried during these calls because they felt like what they were doing was wrong, but they feared the repercussions if they did not. Some managers took this very harshly. But some managers also took this as a very sadistic opportunity, which is very unfortunate. But that's just the nature of humans. You're going to have two people. So now we're going to get into Louise. So Louise Ogborn was an 18-year-old girl living in Mount Washington, Kentucky. Everyone describes her as just a very average girl. She was very sweet, and friendly. She went to church, and she was a former Girl Scout. She was going to attend at the University of Louisville after graduating high school, and she was planning to study medicine, but her family had recently fallen into some financial hardships, so Louise took a part-time job being a cashier at McDonald's in December of 2003. 4 months into working at McDonald's, Officer Scott would call Louise's location on April 9th of 2004. It was a Friday. If you've never worked in fast food, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are basically the worst days. They are super busy. Super busy, like more than any other time in the week. So Louise was working a morning shift, like a mid-morning shift, and she had worked her full shift when her assistant manager came over and asked if she would be willing to work the evening shift because someone had called out and they were going to be short. It's a Friday. And she's like, I could really use the hours. So she decided to stay. So Officer Scott then calls and asked to speak to the manager on duty about theft that had apparently occurred at their location. At this time, there was two assistant managers working. One of them was named Donna, and the other one was named Kim. So Donna was the manager who took the call from Officer Scott, and he introduced himself as Officer Scott, as him being a local detective, and he said that he was calling because a customer reported from the restaurant claiming that one of the cashiers stole from her purse. Officer Scott then said that Donna's district manager, whom he mentioned by name, and McDonald's corporate was on board with this call, and they were actually on the other end of the line. So he described a young cashier that seemed to fit Louise's description, and Donna agreed to bring Louise into the office and interrogate her until the police arrived. Louise was in shock and scared by the allegations because she didn't want to get in trouble. She knew she was innocent. And Donna then told Louise to empty her pockets, where she confiscated her phone, keys, and ID. And then Donna was instructed to perform a strip search on Louise to make sure that she didn't have anything underneath her uniform. Officer Scott then told them that they could perform the strip search there, or that Louise would be arrested and booked and perform the strip search in the county jail. So Louise obviously did not want to be arrested and did not want to go to jail. So she just agreed to have the strip search there. Like, she didn't agree, but she complied with it being there instead of being at the jail. So Kim, the other assistant manager, walked in to be a witness on the search because she thought that it would be corporate policy. First of all, she thought that McDonald's had a policy on performing strip searches in the store. But second,
that's concerning.
She thought, you know what? Let me be there.
Donna.
Kim?
We got both?
Yes. Donna was the one who was performing it, and Kim walked in because she thought that it would be McDonald's policy to have a witness to the search.
Okay, my brain missed that. Donna and Kim?
Oh.
Who's running the floor?
That will become an issue in a minute, that no one is on the floor. So now Kim is in the room, and all three of them are in the room. Louise begins to undress, and she is shaking and crying throughout this search. Obviously, she's very distressed. And once she gets down to her bra and underwear, Donna tells her to remove those as well. So now Louise is completely naked. And Officer Scott then told Donna to take her clothes and personal items and place them in a plastic bag. Place that plastic bag in her vehicle in the driver's seat with the door unlocked, claiming this was a standard procedure and the officers who were on their way would pick up her stuff once they got there.
This fucking guy is bold as hell. Because
Oh,
what do
just the
you
amount of
mean?
shit like that
And
he
it's
got
different each
to.
time.
Yes, like he was a detective, he was law enforcement, he was investigating drugs, now it's theft. Like, it's crazy.
How does he keep it straight?
Beats me. But beats me. So Louise now is standing naked in front of her managers with nothing but a small apron to basically cover herself. So very humiliating. And she was instructed that she had to stay this way until an officer was able to go down there and, finish the investigation. So Donna was also instructed to not let any of the other employees working know what was happening, as it would compromise the investigation. So while all this is taking place, the restaurant outside is experiencing their dinner rush. So they are fucking balls to the wall busy. And Donna is sitting here like, I'm the assistant manager. Like, I gotta go. I can't be here watching her. Like, and same thing with Kim. So Kim leaves, and now it's Donna and Louise in the room. And Louise says that at this point, she just wanted to just run away and get help, but she was way too scared to be completely nude in front of the strangers that were occupying the restaurant, which is
That
completely
is
understandable.
so, that's so sad.
That is completely understand. And later in this case, there's victim blaming. And I
Oh,
think
fuck that.
fucking bullshit. And just the, I think it's the
Fuck
fact that
that.
naked. It's the fact that she's naked, what has to be the worst part. Because, God, like, for you to look at someone and be like, well, you still should have left. Like, he was over the phone. Like, no one's keeping you there.
No.
It's her job. She's naked. It's busy. Fuck no.
She's 18.
She's 18. She's scared.
She's a
Like,
baby.
So like I said, the floor is down three people. They're all busy. Louise just wants to leave. And so Donna is like talking to Officer Scott, and he was like, is there anybody else that you can get that could be off the floor since you guys are managers? And Donna was like, oh yeah, cool. Let me go get 27-year-old Jason Bradley to watch Louise. Now, when Jason walks into the office, he is shocked, to say the least, because he saw Louise, first of all, in the state that she was in, and then she's also completely nude, nothing but an apron. And once Donna leaves, hands the phone off to Jason, Jason's on the phone with Officer Scott. Officer Scott then tells Jason to have Louise remove the apron that was covering her and describe in detail Louise's body to him.
See, now we're going to talk about this. I'm not saying I understand any part of this because I don't, but I can understand why 25 years ago something like this could potentially happen. That though, that's got to set off some kind of alarm. Because first of all, has anyone asked for a badge number? Because what the fuck? A police officer would not be saying that
Ever, ever.
ever. And if they are, that is an issue. Oh my
We're
God.
not going to get the bad police today, but so like you said, that did set off an alarm for Jason, and then Jason said that he was very uncomfortable and he refused to even listen to what Officer Scott was telling him. So then Jason, yeah, King, well, kind of. He exited the office and refused to participate or listen to what the man was telling him, but he did not get help for Louise. So, I mean, he didn't participate, but also he could have
half king. Been,
let's
that's
call
him.
That's a prince. That's So yeah, that was what happened with Jason. And then Donna was like, well, fuck. Not only does someone else know what happened, now I have to come back and watch her. So then Donna was like, listen, like, you're going to have to send somebody down here because I need to be running my restaurant. And I don't have anybody else that I can like expend to watch Louise. So Officer Scott then suggested that her husband come down and watch Louise because the quote unquote, it would be better if she was with a man anyway, so she couldn't run away. And you know what Donna said?
Bet.
Well, I'm not married, but I'm about to be, so I guess I'll call my fiance.
Donna. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a lot of questions for her.
Right. I like, what do you mean? So then Donna's fiance was 43-year-old Walter Nix Jr. And I don't have a whole lot on him. He was an exterminator, and people said that he was overall like just a normal good guy. He arrived 15 minutes after this without questions. He just pulled up. And he walked in to Louise completely nude, only covering herself with the apron. Donna gave her fiance the rundown. She was like, this is Officer Scott. She's in here for suspected thefts. You got to watch her, blah, blah, blah. So then she hands the phone to Walter and he takes over the call from there. Once Donna left the room, Officer Scott, then tried to repeat the same steps that he did with Jason, and he told him to describe her body to him. And then Louise had to perform jumping jacks in order to shake anything loose that she might be hiding.
What?
Yes.
Shake what loose? Does this man know what a female body looks like?
I don't know.
What's loose?
Well, it's being described. So.
Oh, you know, you have a point. You're
yeah.
Right.
So I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Walter, unfortunately, followed the man's instructions regarding Louise for the next 2 hours. Donna would come in and out of the office during this time. But each time she left, he would give her the apron to cover herself. And once Donna left the room, the abuse would continue. So Louise at this point is just fucking going through it. Like, it seems like there's no one who's going to help her because the police are the ones who are telling her to go through this. So, like, Louise is begging Walter to stop at this point. But he was actually instructed to hit her on the behind at one point for 10 minutes straight. So now it's going to get sad again.
What? Around, hold on.
Oh.
Is there not anyone being like, this is sexual abuse?
No, not yet.
Oh, cool. Okay. Glad we're here. Glad we're on this journey together, everybody.
Mm-hmm. So around the 3 hour mark of the quote unquote investigation, like I said, it's going to get sad again for a second. Walter then sexually assaulted Louise while Officer Scott listened to the phone.
And when you say sexual assault, you mean like
I'm pretty sure he sexually assaulted her. Yeah.
Like penetration. Ooh,
I,
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
yeah.
What, Walter? You don't even work at this McDonald's.
I'm not 100% sure if that's the case. It said sexual assault, so I'm gonna go with that. But
Yeah.
like I said, I don't know exactly what happened.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And once that ordeal was over for Louise, he was told to give the phone back to Donna and leave the restaurant immediately. After he left, Walter then called his best friend and told him that he had done something terrible.
To say the least,
Yeah.
I'd say that's right.
So Donna was very, very upset at this point. She does not know what just happened. Her
No.
husband or
Pause.
her fiance.
Donna is upset.
Yes.
Fuck you, Donna. What
She
the?
doesn't know. Well, I mean,
Didn't
fuck
know
you,
what?
Donna, for a couple of reasons, but she didn't know that her husband had assaulted her at this point. Or her
I
fiance, sorry.
feel like that doesn't make it better.
No,
We'll talk.
but we'll talk. Yeah, we'll
I
talk.
guess in a way it, okay. Okay.
So to her, he's just been watching her for the past 2 hours and still no officers are on the scene. So she finally is like, who the fuck's gonna get here? And while this is happening at approximately 8:30 p.m., Thomas Sims, who was a maintenance worker for the restaurant, stopped by to get some food for himself. And when he arrived, Donna explained the situation to him, and he agreed to watch her at first. But once he walked into the office and saw Louise completely nude, he received the same instructions as the other two men. He flat out refused. Like within 60 seconds, he was like, something is wrong. Something is off about this. And he tells Donna, I think we need to call the cops.
Like
And
911 cops.
yeah, like 911. 60 seconds, this guy walks in and is like, no, we need to call someone.
So this one's a king.
This is the king. This is why I said
Okay,
earlier,
okay.
where Jason, yes, he didn't participate, but he also didn't get help. He was like, no, we gotta call 911. Like, we gotta call someone. And so Donna obviously starts to panic. And she calls the manager, the regional manager that was supposed to be on the other end of the line and on board with this phone call. Guess what they say? They've been
What
asleep
policy?
at home the whole time. They have no idea what this call is about.
Dude, okay, I don't fucking feel bad for her, not one bit, for Donna. But could you imagine you're that fucking feeling like in your stomach, you know, when you're like on a roller coaster and it's like, whoop, that probably is what she felt when
Oh,
she heard,
God.
oh, you are asleep. That sucks. But also, fuck you, Donna. Sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah. So then Donna immediately notified the Mount Washington police, and listen to this name. This is a real officer. Officer Buddy Stump.
Stump.
Buddy Stump.
That
Officer.
is, that's a
That's a
name.
name. That's a
That
name.
is a name. I'm putting that on the list. Buddy
Officer.
Stump.
Buddy Stump. Officer Stump was assigned to the case, and he initially believed that the caller may have been using a payphone from across the street. But once he did more research, he was the one to put together that these calls had been going on for more than 10 years and across 30 states. So,
Buddy.
so luckily, and now we're gonna kind of get into what happened afterward. Luckily, another McDonald's had received another call like this, and they were able to use the Star 67 feature to see where the call had originated from, and they were able to see that it was from a payphone in Panama City, Florida. So Louise was finally able to go home after the police were notified, all this stuff. And all she asked before she left was she asked Donna if she had to come in tomorrow, and then she never returned. Fuck
I
queen
fucking
shit.
wouldn't.
Queen
Are you
shit.
kidding me? I'm never
No.
fucking going back there.
Fuck Donna, fuck Kim, fuck Walter, fuck
Fuck
everybody
McDonald's, bro.
who let this shit happen to her for 3 hours, dude.
Dude, I would be like, no, you need to hand deliver me my check. I'm not fucking stepping foot
I'm
in
not
that
even going
damn.
back.
No.
So after this ordeal, Louise sought out therapy and she was diagnosed with PTSD and depression. She did not end up attending college and she became very closed off. And then she ended up suing McDonald's 3 years later. It was proven that McDonald's was aware of these calls and was also being sued in four other states for similar incidents up to 2 years prior. They took no precautions to stop it from happening at other locations. So Louise attempted to sue for $200 million, but McDonald's argued that since the actions were not done by another McDonald's employee and that Louise did not try to leave, they should not have to pay her. To them, it was considered quote unquote common sense for her to try to leave the area.
Fuck you, McDonald's.
Fuck McDonald's, dude.
That's fucking weird.
The civil trial that they were in lasted a month, and Louise was awarded $6.1 million. So she did get some money.
I mean, we always like I say this at least once a week. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it helps.
It helps. They
Like if
do.
I got a $6.1 million like payout, would the PTSD go away? No. But at least I can like pay my rent.
Was gonna say, I'm not paying rent for a couple years.
Girl, I'm buying a house. I'm
Yeah.
not paying rent ever again.
No, never.
Anyway.
So you're probably wondering what happens to the other people in this case. So Walter was arrested and charged with sexual abuse and unlawful imprisonment, which he pled guilty to, and he agreed to testify against the caller in exchange for a 5-year sentence, where he ended up serving 2 years of it. Donna broke off the engagement and never spoke to Walter again. She was able to go back and watch the footage from her office of that night and see exactly what happened.
Honestly, Donna, good move.
Yeah, good move. Good.
Good
The
move.
only move she made, but good move.
But hey, at least you made it.
So McDonald's obviously terminated Donna's employment, and she was also arrested for unlawful imprisonment. She entered an Alfred plea, which, if you don't know what that is, that's basically where you can plead guilty while maintaining your innocence. We talked about it in the West Memphis 3 case. So it's not used often, but it is a type of plea that you can take. And she was sentenced to 1 year of probation. Donna also attempted to sue McDonald's for not warning her or other employees of the potential of these calls. She asked for 50 million and she was awarded 1.1 million.
That is 1 million too much. The point one I can agree with because
You
McDonald's
can
should.
mention
I just a little, but a
something.
whole million, Donna.
A whole meal?
1.1? No.
So Detective Stump joined forces with another detective in Massachusetts named Vic Flaherty. And Detective Flaherty was investigating similar calls placed to Wendy's in his location. So Detective Flaherty was also able to find out where the calling cards were purchased, and what Walmart they were purchased at, but this particular Walmart did not have security footage looking over the registers. So they knew that he had purchased them there, but they had no footage of him purchasing the calls of the calling card.
Cool.
So then they looked at different calling cards, and they saw that these calling cards were purchased at another Walmart that did have security footage. So they were able to go to that Walmart and look at that footage. And that's where they see a guy purchasing these calling cards. They went back to the previous Walmart. They matched up the guy. You know, they don't have footage of him purchasing it here, but he purchased it over there. He was at this Walmart at the time and date that they were purchased. So they were kind of able to piece it together. And in one of the security footages, he was wearing a uniform for a correctional company in Panama City, Florida. So they were able to reach out to the warden of that facility, and he was able to name the man in the video. So, quote unquote, Officer Scott is actually 38-year-old David Stewart, who was a Florida resident. He was married and had five young kids at the time of these calls. So he was working as a correctional officer. And when the police searched his home, they found a large amount of evidence that David wanted to be a police officer, but he lacked some of the skills to be able to do that. They found multiple job applications to multiple police stations in the area. Lots of accessories that police officers would normally wear, including uniforms, firearms and ammunitions, and hundreds of police magazines. They were also able to find the calling cards that were able to be traced to calls from other states. Unfortunately, they were not able to recover the card that was used in Louise's case specifically, but David Stewart was arrested for impersonating a police officer and solicitation of sodomy, where he was extradited from Florida to Kentucky. This is gonna make you mad though. In October of 2006, David's attorney had him acquitted of all charges on the basis of all the evidence being virtually circumstantial. David was not named guilty, but it is worth mentioning that since David's arrest, there have been no more prank calls of this nature.
What the fuck?
And that's it. That's what I got for you.
Oh, great. So, like, no justice.
No. I mean, it's solved. We know who it is, but technically we can't charge him.
That. Anyway, I'm ready to smoke weed because what the fuck did you just fucking tell me, bitch?
I told you that it was still fucked up. Even though there was no murder, it was still fucked up, dude.
Now, you said it would make me uncomfortable, and that it did. The minute you mentioned Applebee's, I became uncomfortable.
Kyler
Applebee's is just, I don't even know if I've ever been to one, but I don't have any desire to go to one. And if you work at an Applebee's or something, I'm
Sorry.
sorry.
I'm sorry
Yeah, I
that
don't know.
I've never been to one.
Applebee's.
I've never looked at an Applebee's and been like, that's where I'm gonna eat today. Like,
It gives like TGI Fridays,
ooh,
Chili's.
except TGI Fridays ain't that bad.
But if it's like the Holy Trinity, Applebee's is definitely the worst of the worst. I don't know, man. But that was a lot. That was intense.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. So Elena has muted herself. If you are over the age of 21. You should come smoke weed with us. That's why she muted herself. She's getting her collection ready.
But you were gonna say I wasn't 21. That's why she's not here.
No, Elena is 21. She is just gathering her material. I have a lot of feelings and no feelings because I'm just really confused, and I texted myself some things that you will be hearing my thoughts, because honestly, this is just too much for me. I don't understand. Truly, truly, I don't get it. I don't know. And I will say, I don't think that this would happen in this day and age. In this, for a lot of different reasons.
Hello, friends. I am in my garage now. But yeah, I completely agree. And like I said earlier, I feel like it has to do with time. It has to do with
100%.
a lot with location. Some people, when they talk about this case, also mention IQ, but I would argue that people of average intelligence could also fall for maybe not these specific types of things, but being led by someone who is impersonating a police officer, because we've seen it happen with other things before. People take authority very seriously, especially when you look at things like the Stanford Prison Experiment. I mean, how quickly do people do anything under the guise of authority? So it's like there's a
Even
lot
like the
there.
Milgram experiment.
Yeah, like
Like, there's been a lot of studies about this kind of shit just because even something as simple as a lab coat can make people feel like they are less powerful, maybe is what I'm trying to say. I don't really know, but it's like, I do think, and I texted myself, what did I say? I think I said, kids are not taught to trust authority figures as much as they were like back in the day. Like even when we were growing up, like it was taught like police are your friends. Personally, I still believe like firefighters. Sorry guys, I'm out of breath. I stood up. I had to. I stood up, and then
Yeah,
I'm
well.
done. See, it's not because I smoke weed. It's because I have asthma.
It's because you had three times.
Because I'm a three-time COVID survivor. Oh yeah, but like when we had a firefighter come to my job, like and we like firefighters, I love y'all. I love y'all ACAB, but I love the firefighters and the EMTs. Y'all are fantastic. You do God's work. But like kids nowadays, at least I don't know, man. Maybe I shouldn't speak generally, but like we have so much access to stuff. Like we see the horror that can be law enforcement. So it's like we know. And like even, of course, when I have children, I'm gonna be like, listen, if you need something, you call the police. But at the same time, I'm gonna be like, don't trust anybody. I'm gonna be like, l ask for the badge number. Ask for a fucking lawyer. Like don't. I don't know. It's very interesting to me that it went as far as it did because what the fuck? And it's one of those things where I'm also like, we can sit here and say that we wouldn't do that, but how do you really know? Like,
Yeah.
because you wouldn't unless you're in that moment. And like, even if, like, I stand by it. I don't think this would happen. Not like Elena, you said, like, I've never worked in fast food, but if I got a fucking call, hello, this is Officer Scott. I'm calling because one of your customers stole $20 or whatever. The fuck I look like dealing with that? Get a cop out here now, then. The fuck?
Right.
But, 20 years ago, that is not how people were taught. That's not what people thought. They thought, oh, this is an officer. This is an officer calling from a Star 67 number. Got it. Say less.
From a collect call.
From a payphone. Listen, I also think it's really funny. I feel like it really showed our age when you were like, I don't really know how that works. Like, with the, what is it? Like, the prepaid cards and shit. Listen, I don't think I've ever used a payphone in my entire life. I've seen them. Never used one though. So I don't know what the fuck that's like. Do they have caller ID? Probably not. Ooh.
No. It
I
would
feel
just
really young all of a sudden.
give you like the location of where that payphone was, and that's pretty much it. Like
United States of America.
that, but well, the first time they looked it up, it just said Panama City, Florida, like
That is
somewhere.
really, really cool that they were able to track his ass down. That is so, that is good police work,
That
buddy
is
stump.
police. Buddy Stump and Vic Flaherty. Yep. Those are
Kings.
names. Those are names.
Those officers, you guys are welcome to join us.
Sims. Thomas Sims got her that help, and God only
King.
knows what else would have happened to poor Louise if he had
Can
not
we?
decided to come in and get dinner that night.
Oh, that is so heartbreaking to think about. Fucking Lu poor Louise. Oh my God.
I mean, what
And
did
like,
happen? But it could have been worse as well.
no, I
Like,
know. I know what you were saying. But like, I'm putting myself, because when I was 18, it was actually one of the only jobs I had where it wasn't around children. I sold makeup at a makeup store. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, when I was 18, if they like they did like search our bags when we left to make sure we weren't stealing makeup, but like if someone was like, you need to go in the back, and they'd do a strip search on me, what? For my minimum wage job? Absolutely not. I
no.
sell lipstick, bitch. Like, the fuck? Like, and even worse at a McDonald's? I'm sorry, but what the fuck?
Fuck no.
At the McDonald's.
At the McDonald's, at the Applebee's, at the Wendy's, at the Taco Bell, like
The Taco Bell.
he didn't even target one area or one
Chain.
food chain. The only thing that he kept the same was that he was Officer Scott. That's it. That's not even his name. His name is David.
Yeah, why'd you pick Scott, you dumbass? I don't like him.
I do not like him either. And I feel like he, obviously what I was trying to do by telling you guys the not smaller, but the lesser known cases first was kind of like describe his like, because he didn't start with
His
having people.
escalation.
Yeah, he didn't start with having people unfortunately assault young women over the phone. He started with, you know, first calling these places, then the strip searches, then the involving other people and the involvement of local law enforcement, and like he just kept it going. And I feel like Louise's case was the penultimate for him. Like that was it. I'm not sure if any other women or any other people, to be honest, got assaulted on other phone calls, but she did. And I feel like
See, go ahead.
that's it.
I think that's an interesting point, because then I don't know if you think like this. I mean, I'm sure you do because we're kind of the same, but I'm like, what are the motherfucking odds that a fucking weird ass, I don't even know what to call him, like, just Officer Scott would somehow get into contact with a fucking sadist that's like, oh yeah, I'll assault her. Huh? What are the odds? Like, because what? That can't. I refuse to believe that every McDonald's has someone's fiance that would be willing to sexually assault somebody. Like
An
well, she's not a
18-year-old
child, like a young girl.
She was
Like,
in high school.
what?
He had not graduated high school yet.
Yeah, but like she's legally not a minor anymore, but still that doesn't fucking matter. She's 18. That's a baby.
Yeah. Like freshly 18. Like I said, she's still in high school. Like it
Yeah.
doesn't make sense to me for, and that's what I'm saying, where like these cases of people following authority to the point where they start to go against their own judgments is I can't see it happening. You're right, with everybody. It has to be
Oh, it won't.
specific combination of events
We say it all the time, the stars aligned.
for this person to get another full grown adult to do something, to basically act out of character because he had no prior
Yeah,
criminal convictions.
that's
He
really
felt
strange.
remorse. He felt bad afterward. He called his friend and he's like, "Hey, I fucked up." Like, so he was basically just an average guy that got twisted up in the wrong things. And it's so unfortunate because also at the same time, he still made those decisions because we
Yeah.
saw the two other men that were also asked refused. So,
60 seconds.
yep.
60 seconds.
Thomas was like, fuck no. What the fuck have y'all been doing tonight? Like,
For real, at this McDonald's? Dude, that's just so strange.
I mean, for Louise, like, she has to be just so distrusting of everybody now. Like, first of all, first the police. These people are supposed to be helping you, right? You get accused of something you didn't do. Fair enough. Broken that trust. Then now you're under the belief that this officer is telling your managers. So now your freedom and your job is on the line. And now your dignity, because now you're naked. Like, God, it just putting myself in her
You're
shoes.
fucking innocent, man.
I don't even know. I'm proud of her for getting through what she did because I don't even know what I would.
100%.
I don't even know what I would have done. Like, that is just so horrible. Yeah, horrible.
Horrible, horrible, truly.
I can't even imagine it. And I just feel so bad for her.
And you know what? And she, for some girl, if you ever hear this, if we live in a world where you hear this, I am so proud. You had the balls to fucking take McDonald's down, queen, queen, and you did it.
An
You did
attempt,
that.
and then fuck. I mean, I do enjoy a good McChicken, but fuck you, McDonald's, for trying to be like it was common sense for her to leave.
Fuck anybody that says that shit.
Anyone who says that it was common sense for her
You
to
know
leave,
what?
I would love for you to be in the same position.
Exactly. I was just about to say, everybody that says that, put them in the back of the Mickey D's, strip them down, put a teeny little apron on, a half apron, not even a full one, and tell them to run laps around the fucking store. See what the fuck they do.
Oh,
Hell no, no socks, no
no
socks.
stop. Naked.
Naked, naked.
Oh.
To see if anything shakes loose, sir.
Oh.
Scott, David, if you will, what the fuck to call you? I don't know. But what do you mean? That's gonna haunt me tonight. See what shakes loose.
It's the psychological torture that is the worst. Because, I mean, besides public indecency, technically there's nothing else illegal by running around the store naked. But the humiliation and the mental state that you are probably in, oh. That's so much,
Girl,
like, that's so much worse.
honest to God, I don't. I would be. I listen. I've gained much more confidence over the years, right? But if I was told like titties out and everything, girl, I don't even want my tummy to jiggle.
Oopa out.
Out.
Oopa out.
Ma'am. No, ma'am. Simply no. Donna, you get naked and you tell me to do this shit.
I will simply not. Here, I'm gonna send you a picture of the people who are involved.
That was
Cause
not a dig at Louise either, because I understand why she did what she did. But I feel like if me right now, and this version of Katie, you're gonna have to take the clothes off yourself, because no, I'm not doing it. Get a real cop, get a real lady cop, and take me down to the station. I'll cooperate, but I'm not getting naked in a McDonald's for any reason.
Absolutely not.
Any reason whatsoever.
Gotta look up Donna Summers.
Again, that was not a dig at Louise. What'd you say?
I'm looking up Donna Summers from McDonald's.
Donna, honestly, I just don't. And if you're a Donna out there, not a dig at you either. I don't like that name. Donna?
Right,
Donna?
I'm gonna send you a picture from a screenshot of the footage from The Office.
Oh, I bet he's ugly.
You can't see anything. And then the next picture is of Louise, and then the next two is Donna and Walter.
Oh my God, she looks so young. Oh my goodness. Hello, freckles are so cute. And that's Donna and who did you say this was?
Donna and Walter, Donna's fiance.
What does David look like? I can Google it, actually. I have a phone too.
David is ugly.
Of course. And I bet he has a small dick. And nobody fight me on that. Oh my God, do we need a little brain bleach? Because I have a story I could tell you from my job. I'm gonna do it.
Be a good one.
Huh?
That might be a good idea.
So
That's the date.
earlier, 2 days ago, I believe, yeah, it was 2 days ago, I had a child. I didn't physically birth a child. Let me rephrase. I was working with a kid. He's five. I am one of those bitches with the 2 liter bottles of water. Okay. Elena already knows the story. She knows what happened. But I'm one of those girlies with the hydro jugs. Okay. He thought it was very funny to take it out of my bag and run around with it. And I'm like, whatever. You're giggling. You're having a silly movie time. What does he do next? He throws it up in the air, like underhand tosses my full water bottle, my full gallon size water bottle, and it shattered on the floor. So
Come on.
now there's like I said, it was a full 2 liters of water on the floor, and he looks at me and just kind of you can't see what I'm doing, but he was like, yikes. He looks so sorry, and he's nonverbal, but his face said that. Okay, I was like, I know that wasn't your intention. I need you to get the fuck away from me, though. I need you to go sit down, because now I have to deal with it, and I don't want to. But yeah, that ruined my day, and now this ruined today. This case made me sad today. So
And now this ruined this today. So
this ruined this day, and whatever day you're listening on. I hope it ruined your day, but only because then we're all in this together, you know?
right. We're all in pain.
And if this didn't make you sad, we need to have a chat. Because this is really sad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to let me see. I texted myself a couple other things.
I sent you a picture of David too.
Oh, that's right. He looks like he's wearing a toupee. He is ugly. Sorry.
Ew.
Finishing on my kids are not taught to trust authority figures, and I said, I don't hate that. I'm gonna teach my kids. We already went through it. So but I do, I truly do. I think it's super, super interesting, especially we've talked about it before. I've never been to the South. I'm going to Texas in June. So I'll be interested to see. But I've never really been to the South except for Florida. So I don't know what that like that culture, I guess, would be. Like where that like, no, we trust the ops down here. I don't know, man. I live in a city.
It's definite because when I went to go visit Kyler lives in Georgia. The town that he is from is not the smallest. It's a little bit smaller than maybe what I'm used to, but it's definitely like a very southern town. And I would say probably in where I am now, you see maybe one or two cars on the road that has a Blue Lives Matter or the blue line flag or something like
I
that.
saw one the other day at a McDonald's, funnily enough.
Oh.
Right in front of me, and I went, ooh.
Sorry. Oh. But down south, it's like just stores just have like Blue Lives Matter shirts.
Like
And
in the
like,
window.
yeah, like that's how they like get people to go in. And they're like,
What?
people are wearing it all the fucking time. People have it on their cars, on their, they have cups, they have water
Like
bottles, they have,
Yetis.
like, yeah, like a Yeti with the flag on
Chakra.
it. So yeah,
That's
no,
weird.
it's deaf, and I can only imagine that before the events of Black Lives Matter and a lot of recent cases that we've heard of before they
That
were
was
public
even before, I believe, like Black Lives Matter as a
organization.
organization was even formed. Like that was like a decade before, was it not? Like what would this happen? Like I don't even know what that was like when people were like, oh yeah,
Well,
this
that's what
is
I'm
what this is
saying.
the way it is.
Like,
Yeah.
before we had all this stuff, it was a different culture up here. And I can only imagine that it was much worse down there. Like, to them, it
You
wasn't
know,
even a question on if you would trust the police or not, you know? Like,
right. To bring it back to like an episode or two ago, it's like the same thing where I don't remember, you said a quote, I don't remember it, but it was like we know the things we know now because they happen.
yeah.
So it's like we know, like, yes, obviously people now are more distrusting of law enforcement and police officers. So it's hard, I don't know, it's just hard to conceptualize it, especially because we are both the people that we are, and we've said it before. We are more or less leaning, to say the least. And like you think about it up here, we live up north, not the south. And I'm currently wearing a shirt that says, and I don't want this to be a thing, I'm just stating a fact. Like I'm just stating the shirt I'm wearing. It says, keep abortion safe and legal. Those shirts were in the window of a store, and I went in because of it. And just to think of that stark contrast of down south, blue, li not Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives fucking matter shirts in the windows, getting people to go in the same way that my keep abortion safe and legal shirt did. I just think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what's the in between?
America.
You know what? The melting pot. God bless America. Damn.
It's definitely a part of their norm.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, even both of us being left-leaning, I feel like both of us are still in pretty liberal areas as well, too.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
definitely plays a difference. Like the town where Kyler is from, they were celebrating National Prayer Day in their courthouse. So that should tell you, well, he's not from there, but that's where he lives. That should tell you everything that you got to know about that town.
Dude, I don't even
When
know.
I
I
say
didn't
prayer,
know that was a thing.
Christian denomination, not
Oh,
prayer,
girl, I figured.
like just clarifying that they specifically meant Christian prayer. Like,
Fucking life, man. You can tell this is the part of the episode where we have smoked a little, got a little toasty. So I'm just
we
like,
all
life is wild.
full days. So, like,
Oh,
we're recording
yeah.
this.
It's like 10 o'clock. It's
Yeah.
past both of our bedtime right now. Do you have any final thoughts?
I feel like we should definitely, the solution to this type of stuff comes with education, and it comes
100%.
with companies giving trainings, because it's not only just for your safety, it's for everybody else in the restaurant safety, because people now do this with getting codes to the safe or getting codes to computers and
Right.
that. So I feel like it is just education on the fact that these types of things happen, and there's definitely ways that we can prevent them.
Especially with the evolution of technology. Let's all be safe out there.
Please.
Please, God. I guess
Yeah.
that's it. That's
Yeah.
my and however you take that, be safe. I don't know, man.
That's
Be
it.
safe in every regard.
Drink your
I
water.
have nothing else to say. Drink your water.
Don't be an asshole. Don't
Don't be a
call
dick.
collect and
Don't commit crimes.
don't commit crimes.
Like, we can add don't sexually assault to that list now too, of don't murder, don't be an asshole. Don't assault people.
At
You
all,
know?
sexual or
I feel
not.
like it's that simple. Truly. I've said
That's
that a lot this episode. Truly, just
it.
honestly. Contact information will be in the.
Like
Yep.
show bio, what, where,
Yeah, and we love you.
a few say back.
Stay back. Be safe. Good night.
I got